It's 90.7 WFUV New York. Listener-supported public media from Fordham, the Jesuit University of New York. On air, online, and always commercial-free.
Touched your golden hair and tasted your perfume. Your eyes were filled with love the way they used to be. Your gentle hand reached out to comfort me.
WFUV, the Electric Prunes, the first song on Nuggets, original artifacts from the first psychedelic era, 1965 to 1968, and the man who put that set together and gave so much joy to the world with it is Lenny Kaye. Thank you for being here, and thanks for all the great words of music over the years.
Well, thank you so much, Eric. It is a nugget if you dug it, and we are going to celebrate that tonight. 50 years of this wacky record that I got a chance to put together way back.
It's so tremendous. I've got the 25th anniversary box set on four CDs, and you have brought the 50th anniversary set on LP, that I'm so jazzed about. I wanted to scoop one on Record Store Day. It was about a month ago.
Middle of May, yeah. Wasn't it? And it was in April actually.
And I slept late, and I haven't been able to find one yet. Hopefully, I can.
I think you know that from what I heard, the record stores didn't stock enough. So there might be some in the warehouse left over, and if you go to your local independent record store and bug them, they can probably get you a copy.
I'm gonna do that.
But it's quite a beautiful thing. I have to thank all the gang at Rhino Records for encouraging it and going all out with it and allowing me to, indulge myself. Once again, 50 years later.
because the first time around, you put out Nuggets. It was 72,
right.
And it wasn't necessarily a big hit right away, right?
It wasn't a big hit for years and years and years. As a matter of fact, about I don't know, 10 years into its thing, I got a royalty statement from Warner Brothers. I had 1% on it, and I was paid an advance of $750, and they said, well, this record's never going to make its money back, so you know, we're going to stop sending you royalties. But I have to say, I've been paid well in beers from Grateful Nuggets fans all over the world. So thank you out there. And it seems to have really put its roots deep into rock and roll culture. You know, again, I always say, if I would have known I was going to be speaking about it a half century in the future, I would have screwed it up. Simple as that. I would have been too serious or conceptual or I don't know. But I, you know, I mostly put a lot of my favorite records on there. And for some reason, it kind of spoke to a lot of people.
Now, with this 50th anniversary Record Store Day edition, you had a chance to put Nuggets Volume 2 onto wax.
Right.
Because when you had it in mind, did Elektra pass on Volume 2?
No, they actually picked up the option. Jack Holzman was such an encourager. I mean, it was his concept to do an album of tracks that were kind of left by the wayside or ignored or needed reinterpretation or recontextualization. I was kind of working as an independent talent scout for Elektra, and he kind of gave me the keys to the kingdom. He didn't really try to make, you know, his mark on it. He let me have my way totally. I mean, you know, a double album set and any records I wanted to be put on there. And he had a great legal guy named Michael Kapp who, tracked the rights to some of these, which were impossible to get.
It must have been a Herculean task to get the licensing.
It was a Herculean task, and that's why the second volume, which I wrote up a list of about another 35, you know, kind of a companion, never happened, because Michael Kapp left the company and Jack left the company, and all of a sudden, you know, nobody really kind of was proactive on what Nuggets was about. But I have to say, Rhino has done a beautiful job. They took my original list and, you know, kind of, you know, their licensing is very strong, and they were able to get things that I wanted for 50 years. From Volume 1 to the Silver Anniversary box set, I was able to get 96 Tears, the Ur-text of garage rock.
What a natural, yeah.
But it's a great listening record. I mean, I always think that, you know, it's about garage rock, but if you listen, especially to the first volume, it's stylistically, it's all over the place. You know,
sure.
There's, you know, like Sagittarius, My World Fell Down is orchestral Beach Boys-ish rock. You know, there's Music Business Professionals, The Strangeloves, you know. Along with, you know, the Seeds and the Standells and all the great bands that fall under the heading of garage. But I don't know. I to me, it's not just about garage rock. What it really makes the record memorable, it's about great records. You know, I mean, I'll go to a record fair, and yes, I still do, and I still buy them little 45s. And someone will come up to me and they'll say, here's a great garage rock record. And I'll listen to it, and it's a great garage rock record. It's got a fuzz tone. It's got a yowling lead singer. It's got some strange, you know, punkish attitude. But is it a great record? And that's, you know, I know on the first album, all of those records are great records, regardless of where they fit in genre. And that's how come people really like it. And, you know, so I try to keep that, you know, sense of expanse and genre open, you know, because we love great records. Simple as that.
And as you said, it has had such legs with not only groups like the Ramones and Television covering some of these songs that were on Nuggets, but also a guy like Neil Young did Farmer John from the 4-CD Silver Anniversary set. And just last night, I played the Jake Isles Band doing Nighttime.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think that Nuggets kind of capsulized a sense of return to basic energy, you know, what I call the original sin of rock and roll. The sense that, you can bring it back to ground zero, the most elemental sound, and then recreate it. I think in a certain way, when Nuggets came out, its philosophy took root a few years later with all the bands that, you know, clustered around CBGB, who were kind of returning rock and roll to its basics, so they could figure out a way to make it something unique. Because, you know, when Nuggets came out, it was a time of grandiosity in rock and roll, and I'm not against that. I mean, I love sprawling improvisation and you know, long prog rock concept pieces, but they're needed to bring it back to where people could enter it easily, you know, and play those songs and reinvent themselves, essentially. Yearning and desire, that's what I think is the key to the Nuggets bands, you know, to find who you are by turning that that amplifier up to 11.
and having the right attitude.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's all about attitude, and it's all about reinvention and creation and finding out who you could be through the magic of being in a band. And it's my story. I mean, in the 60s, I was in what would be known as a garage band in New Jersey, you know, playing the fraternity parties and the clubs. And, you know, it was called The Zoo. We never made any records. But, you know, that's how I learned to be who I am. And that's a blessing.
And that is a perfect segue. I got to ask, did you do college radio at Rutgers?
No, I didn't. You know, WRSU, it was a great thing. I listened to it, and it was a really good station. But I was too busy learning the two kind of educations, surprisingly enough, that made me who I am, which would be playing in a band, and who knew I would still be playing those same three chords, and learning about cultural history. I was an American history major. And so, now I'm a writer, and I explore various cultural outcrops of music, and I get to play it. It's the best of all worlds.
Now, when you were, well, how old were you when you went by the name Link Cromwell?
I was 18 when my uncle, who was a journeyman songwriter on Tin Pan Alley, called me up and he said, would you sing me Eve of Destruction over the telephone? Eve of Destruction had just hit. This would be, I guess, the spring or summer of 65. And him and his partner, Richie Adams, had written a folk protest song to hop on the bandwagon. My uncle later went on to, have some really incredible things. He wrote the lyrics to a love theme from The Godfather, Speak Softly, Love, and also the love theme from Romeo and Juliet, A Time for Us. He was specialized in those love themes. But he brought me into a studio in New York, never been in a studio before. I was wearing my fraternity jacket. And I sang his folk protest song, which was called Crazy Like a Fox, and was released in March of 1966. It got a newcomer pick of the week from Cashbox and then vanished without it, but I have to say it really represents my philosophy in life that I've been able to hold on to in so many different ways. And I just find it kind of a charming artifact of its time.
Well, let's listen. Lenny Kaye as Link Cromwell, Crazy Like a Fox, unearthed on the Also Duggets disc of the Nuggets 50th anniversary set at 90.7 WFUV.
Cause I don't like to work all day long. belly flow. I'll be unhappy, I'll let you go.
WFUV. It is a celebration of nuggets, original artifacts from the first psychedelic era, 1965 to 1968, and all its sequels and brothers and daughters and sons. Eric Holland sitting in with Lenny Kaye. It's a great pleasure. We heard Lenny as Link Cromwell, Crazy Like a Fox. It holds up great. I didn't see anything that would suggest that that's like something you want to leave in the past. That was very fun to bring
out.
I'm still
singing it. You know, I'll be singing it at the City Winery on the 28th and 29th. It gets better over the years, and I get crazier and foxier, I hope.
Please talk a little bit about those shows.
Well, the impetus came from Shlomo at the City Winery. I'm very friendly with him and Michael. A few years ago, we did a residency of three once-a-month shows. We probably did about 50 Nugget songs in all with a bunch of guest artists.
That was 10 years ago, right?
It was like, I don't know, somewhere in there, 14, 16. The years just telescope these days.
It's all a blur.
But, you know, we did some shows in California. We did a really beautiful show in Glendale with the members of Wild Honey, Brian Wilson's backing band, with a cast of thousands, Susanna Hoffs and Weird Al and Evie Sands and, just great, great, great people. Another one in San Francisco up at this club called The Chapel, where Jello Biafra and Penelope Houston of the Avengers came down. So this is going to be the same thing. We have a bunch of guest artists, Peter Buck, Jim Mastro, Juliana Hatfield, Marshall Crenshaw, who I believe used to be heard over this very station.
Absolutely.
And Patti Smith will be coming down to do a couple numbers. And it'll be great. Their house band is myself, Tony Shanahan on bass, Glenn Burtnick on keyboards, Jack Petroselli on guitar, and Dennis Dykin from the Smithereens on drums. And we'll have just, a lot of people will be having a really fun time. It's great to play these songs. And despite garage rock being regarded as, three chords and you're off to the races, to be honest, there's a lot of tricky stuff in it. I mean, just listening to the Castaways that you just played, there's so many, that little bass solo and then the way the voices blend, that's a very weird harmony. It's just nice untangling them. And, of course, the music always sounds great, but it's going to be Friday and Saturday, July 28, 29. And I think there's still a few tickets left. I understand it's been doing quite well. They're going to have commemorative bottles of wine with Nuggets logos on it, and it'll be a really fun occasion to celebrate the 50th anniversary of an album that seems to have found a place in people's hearts in a way that I never suspected or understood or even dreamed of.
Greenwich Hospital joins you in supporting WFUV, where patients have access to over 1,000 physicians, as well as hundreds of specialty programs affiliated with Yale School of Medicine. Learn more at greenwichhospital.org.
King's Theater joins you in supporting WFUV. Author and social commentator Fran Lebowitz, live on stage for an evening of wit and one-liners, October 21st at Brooklyn's King's Theater. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Tickets and info at kingstheater.com.
Listening to WFUV can make you feel good, and you'll feel even better listening as a sustaining member of WFUV. This way, your support is ongoing, so you'll always have the good feeling of contributing to something that matters to you. Join FUV with a monthly gift online at WFUV.org.
Eric Holland with Lenny Kaye. We're talking Nuggets, and I've got I've got a question for like everything that comes out of your mouth. I want to keep interrupting you.
Please.
But have you seen Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
I have.
When they use the Castaways, Liar, Liar, in that, how perfect.
I mean, you know, the music is a great soundtrack to many other things. And I don't know, the songs just hold up. That's what really impresses me about it. I mean, I've heard a million of these collections, Back to the Grave and Pebbles and Boulders and all the many. I mean, it was all I hoped at the end of the liner notes on the first volume. I said, you know, now it's time for the archaeology to start, that, you know, the collectors will fan out and find it. And, you know, they found an incredible amount of things. But again, you know, to have a great song that transcends genre is really, to me, what's most exciting about Nuggets. You know, one, you know, and I have to say, you know, with my volume two, I got a chance to put a lot of songs on there that either I was unable to get rights to for volume one, or that, you know, collectors found over the years that really charmed me. So, you know, it's a great listening experience. That's really how I put it. If you come over to my house, and I hope you do, you know, this is what I'd put on, and, you know, we'd spin around and have a great time.
The liner notes add so much to it. I feel like with liner notes, sometimes you read them and you say, okay, I need to listen to this. And sometimes you read them and say, well, I don't need to listen to this now. But with Nuggets, I feel like not only do I need to listen to this, but I've got some work to do beyond this, because you're dropping these references and kind of dropping breadcrumbs for me to follow.
Well, I mean, it was very different writing the liner notes for volume two, because for volume one, most of this information wasn't out there. You could rely on two or three obsessive collectors, Greg Shaw out in California, a guy named Vic Figlar out in New Jersey. I don't know what ever happened to him. But the details of this were not known, because really the genre hadn't been defined yet. I guess that's it. You know, I didn't even know it was a genre. To me, it was just songs that were cool from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 years before that seemed to kind of be in a transition period between a certain rock and roll pop single and what would be psychedelia exploration a la The Grateful Dead. You know, it was kind of, everybody had a palette of new sounds to draw on, but they were still within the realm of having a hit single. And I like those periods, because it's kind of anything goes. You know, when people figure it out and get a definition, then it becomes predictable. Mm. Still great records, but, you know, I like when wild card stuff happens, or people don't know what they're going to be having to hear next. So, you know, but, you know, 50 years later, there's more information than you know what to do with.
Too much, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a huge amount. Any of the groups, they know who's in the groups, what happened. You know, some of it, I remember in the original one, Magic Mushrooms, I had no idea who they were. I had no idea to find them. So I made it up. I didn't change it in the liner notes. I have to say, I left them as innocent as they were. But for volume two, I mean, I could find every detail. But it's fun to see who's who. That's essentially it. And I am an obsessive researcher. My book, Lightning Striking, 10 Transformative Moments in Rock and Roll.
I'm glad you brought that up. I wanted to. Your latest book.
Yes. I mean, it's really like it's such a journey into these transformative times and places to find out, you know, who's who, and discuss not only the groups, but what Brian Eno calls scenius, which is not just the geniuses on stage, but the entire ecology of a scene, the people there, what they're wearing, what you're reacting against, what the social situation is. That's what makes a moment of evolution. And I've always been fascinated with it. And in a sense, Nuggets is the same way. I'm talking about a moment in time and place that evolved rock and roll, that had an energy that took it to the next level. And, you know, I'm all about the next level, really.
I know you love this song as much as I do. Let's listen to Love. Seven and seven is. And we'll talk some more with Lenny Kaye at 90.7 WFUV.
When I was a boy, I thought a thousand times I'd be a man. I'd sit inside a bottle and pretend that I was in a can. In my lonely room, I'd sit my mind in an ice cream cone. You can throw me if you wanna, but on my phone I go boop, bim, bim, boop, bim, bim, yeah. Right, I wasn't able to find my way.
couple of the toughest songs I associate with Nuggets. The Seeds right there, Pushing Too Hard at 90.7 WFUV. And Love, Arthur Lee and the Fellas, 7 and 7 is.
Amazing. And, you know, just listening to it as you were spinning it, Eric, you hear different stuff like the cymbal crashes punctuating that maniac drum stuff. It's great. And, of course, when people ask me what my favorite song is on Nuggets, I have to say it's The Seeds. I just love that song. Two chords and such attitude and such complete accelerated energy. I just love it. And, of course, I love playing it. And so we will at the City Winery. It's definitely both 7 and 7 is and Pushing Too Hard. I think Ivan Julian's going to do Pushing Too Hard, and our musical director Tony Shanahan will be doing 7 and 7 is. Great songs.
Yeah, that is a dynamite house band. Tony, who has been with you with Patty for
25, yeah, more than that, almost 30 years in this in our second incarnation.
And Glenn Burtnick, who you mentioned, isn't he from your hometown of
Yeah, in
North
fact,
Brunswick?
Tony and I and Glenn, we got kind of played together in a group called the Slaves of New Brunswick, which played every Wednesday night at the Melody Tavern. I was mostly producing records at the time, and I'd go to CBGB, and, you know, there's some group was, you know, up there praying that an A&R person would come there, and there's five people there. And then Tony said to me, come on down to New Brunswick and we'll get you an amp and you can just have some fun. And I went down there and, you know, it's a Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, and people are getting drunk, picking each other up, paying attention to the band, not paying attention. And it really reminded me why I began in a band. It wasn't to, you know, make it in the music business or to have a hit or, you know, whatever. You know, you get pulled into when you're a professional musician. You just reminded me that in the end, you're just having fun and having a party. And that to me is also what the spirit of garage rock is. All of these bands, maybe they had their one hit, maybe they played on the teen circuit, but in the end, they cut their teeth in VFW halls and record hops. And, you know, they were, you know, the voice of their particular party. And I celebrate that. It really keeps me honest to be, you know, it's great to play in, you know, big places and have people do it. But I just try to remember that in the end, you're just hitting that guitar and, you know, people are enjoying themselves in that great communion between performer and audience. Once you get that happening, it's a beautiful thing.
It's Eric Holland talking with Lenny Kaye. Speaking of big places, you are going to be at the Garden with Patty on August 18th, right?
Yes, that's right. Opening the National. That'll be exciting. Yeah. I really like that group. They got a good heart.
Yeah.
And it should be fun. It's always playing. It's fun playing Madison Square Garden. but, you know, I kind of like the dives myself, too. My favorite thing is when I'm downtown at the Bowery Electric, and you know, just the other night we had the Johnny Thunders birthday bash.
I want to ask you about that.
Yeah, it was great. You know, a lot of locals getting up there and singing the songs of Johnny and the Heartbreakers, and I always do You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory, and my version of Gloria, where I talk about, you know, whenever I would see Johnny around and how heartful he was, and how in a certain way he is, you know, the heart and soul of New York rock and roll. You know, he really believed in the power of the music, and he lived it hard, mm-hmm. You know, and I always go down there every birthday and salute him.
That is a great annual tradition. Bauer Electric, Jesse Malin's place, and I know Jesse was going to be there.
Yes, that's right, and our hearts are with Jesse. You know, he's going through a really difficult time now. What a great performer and artist, a total encourager of the Lower East Side scene and his friends, and, you know, the places that he creates to play and hang out, a true scene maker. And I just want, you know, everybody to go to Bandcamp and you know, donate for
Sweet
him.
Sweet Relief.
Sweet Relief, because he's got a long road to recovery, but that moment when he goes back on that stage and the people open their heart to him, I just think it's going to be one of the most beautiful moments in rock and roll.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to.
The Babylon Citizens Council on the Arts joins you in supporting WFUV, presenting the Pominock Powwow on August 12th and 13th at Tanner Park in Copaig, New York, in partnership with the Pominock Native American Festival and Town of Babylon. The festival features indigenous dance, vendors, and more. Information at babylonarts.org.
When you support WFUV, you support the arts, too, and organizations like the St. George Theater Staten Island, the Public Theater, and New York Theater Workshop show their thanks by offering discounts to WFUV members. Not a member yet? Support FUV and see a list of all the places that honor the WFUV member card at WFUV.org.
Lenny, on Nuggets Volume 2, the coup that you pulled was for the song we're about to play by Question Mark and the Mysterians. Can you speak about this a little bit?
Well, it's like the urtext of garage rock, isn't it? It kind of says everything about the genre, you know, a crazy band led by a crazier human, so hypnotically simplistic. I wanted it on the original volume, but their record company didn't want to lease it. I wanted it on the silver anniversary box. Record company didn't want to release it, but thanks to the licensing gods at Rhino Records, 96 Tears, what can I say? The classic.
WFUV.
Night and day, yeah, all night long, a 96 years. miss my loving when you never needed it. Yeah.
WFUV 13th floor elevators, and you're gonna miss me out of Austin.
Yeah, yeah, crazy psychedelia on overload.
And they spent a lot of time out in San Francisco, and were
exactly.
heavily involved yeah.
in hallucinogenics, I believe.
That's the noun.
Their story is really crazy, I gotta say.
Rocky Erickson.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a nifty tribute album to him, and that helped kind of bone me up on some of their stuff, and I went back, and it was very rewarding.
Oh, it's a really weird story, I have to say. And they took it on the chin. I mean, you know, in a time when, you know, getting busted for marijuana was, you know, a federal crime.
Could really screw up your life, yeah.
Yeah. And of course, great to hear 96 Tears. I remember watching Question Mark with Joey Ramone at Coney Island High in the 90s. He came by, and Joey back there going, yeah, baby. And it was, you know, kind of actually a similarity in weird ways with Joey and Rudy Martinez, as he's called. But, you know, it's just great music, I have to say. Song Sound is Alive. And as fresh to me, and as wacky as they did then. It's amazing how music can live on and on and ever on.
It's Eric Holland with Lenny Kaye. We have been digging into Nuggets, original artifacts from the first psychedelic era, 1965 to 1968, as well as Volume 2, which was recently unleashed like Lifehouse 50 years after the original notion, and along with a bonus disc of things that were thought of but didn't make it, and that should be in everybody's record collection. And these shows happening at City Winery on the 28th and 29th of this month is going to be a celebration of this music. And something I wanted to ask you about, Lenny Kaye, were you working at Village Oldies on Bleecker Street at the time that you were collecting these songs?
Yes, absolutely. I started working there probably in, I don't know, the end of 1970 or 71, $10 a day for a six-hour shift, and all the records I could remove. And on Saturday nights, I'd have a beer or six and just pull things from the stacks, and they kind of all fit together in some way. I mean, again, I didn't have any sense of definition, and the time span, I mean, the difference between, say, 1968 and 1971, I had no historical perspective. To me, all the tracks on the original Nuggets seemed wildly different. And, you know, it's only as the passage of decades that you begin to see a kind of similarity, which would be later titled garage rock. I know that word didn't exist back then. So, you know, there are a lot of my favorite songs, just fun stuff, and a good listening experience, I have to say. You know, and to me, that's why it's lived on in all these years, and why when we perform it at the winery, it's going to be great because everyone that'll be coming off that stage, you'll just say, "Oh yeah." Yeah, and hopefully I'll remember my chords.
One of the more bizarre selections on Nuggets is from the Barbarians.
Ah, yes.
Multi.
I know. I could have chosen Are You a Boy or Are You a Girl, but I have to say Multi is about as weird as it gets.
Yes. I love that line. What is it? You know, when you make it at something you really love, well, you got it all.
Yeah, got it all. Now all I need is a girl.
Somebody really loves me.
I know. There's a rumor, by the way, that he's being backed not by the Barbarians, but by Levon and the Hawks.
Yeah.
I can't confirm that.
That's in your liner notes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, print the myth. That's what I always say.
You can't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Exactly.
When you were putting this thing together, was the initial notion to have regional, a set of regional albums, and then it ended up being condensed?
Yeah. I mean, at one point, as the concept developed, I thought, well, there should be one devoted to bands from Los Angeles. There should be one from, you know, they all had different kind of styles to them. But Jack Holzman, in his wisdom, I have to say, wanted something more encompassing, general, and not suddenly put out eight single albums. I also suggested to him at the time that he should change the name to Rockin' and Reelin' USA. And thankfully, he said, "No, I don't think so."
Oh my God, you're serious.
Yeah, because Jack had a great sense of logo. I mean, all those Elektra records had you know, very defined, the Doors logo, you know, they all...
And we were talking about Forever Changes
and,
before.
Yeah, Love's logo is beautiful. So, you know, and Jack, you know, and like, again, I have to say, he suggested a couple tracks to me. One was Serpent Power's Endless Tunnel, all 13 minutes of it, which I would have loved to put on, but I, you know, there's no room. but he just allowed me to do whatever he wanted. I think the record turned out differently than he imagined, but that's the mark of a great record company president. You give somebody a job and you trust them and you allow them to fulfill your vision. And I have to say, I was a little full of myself at the time. You know, oh yeah, I don't like that cover. I don't like it. And then I got that magnificent Abe Gervin cover that really, like, you know, captures what this music sounds like coming out of your car radio. He just allowed me, you know, to play in the fields of the Lord, like I like to say, and the record's longevity has borne that out. I mean, again, I didn't, you know, I was in a garage band, but we didn't make any records. I didn't write that music. I just appreciated it, and my goal was to make sure that my favorite records kept on living, and so they have. Amazing.
A lot of New York stuff on Nuggets, which is a great education, and you know, groups like the Blues Project, and and you mentioned the Strange Loves, like a production team out of Brooklyn.
The Magicians.
Now they were down in the Village. Did you cross paths with those guys?
No, I was a little young, I have to say. It's amazing to be able to say that, but I was too young really to go to the Night Owl. I did see Jimmy James play at the Cafe Agogo one night, sitting in with John Hammond and the Hawks. So I was kind of on the periphery, but yeah, I'm still a teenager living in New Jersey. To come into New York was like, whoa, a big deal.
For those who don't know the Jimmy James reference, that would be the name that Jimi Hendrix played under when he was hanging out in the Village.
And I remember seeing him, and he was great. He did all his tricks, you know, biting the guitar and playing it behind his head. And I remember going back to my group, the Zoo, and saying, "Guys, we got to start playing our guitars behind our heads. It's so amazing." But yeah, you know, I mean, it was a great scene. I love scenes. You know, I love when suddenly locuses of energy combine like planetary dust combining to make a planet. It's always amazing. It's always surprising. In my book, I go to Seattle in 1991 and Liverpool in 62. You know, New Orleans, 57, London, 77, of course, New York in 75, where I got to participate in that energy that suddenly, you know, starts to transform the music you love. Because I like change. You know, I'm not about the past. I love to celebrate the past, but I'm more anxious to see what the future unfolds. You know, I'm very eclectic in my musical taste. You know, I listen to you know, TikTok radio on Sirius, you know, because there's always something great happening. I like the soundtrack of the moment. Yeah. I was, you know, listening in the car coming up here, Eric, and you're playing a lot of stuff that I said, wow, who is that? Mm. I have to
that
have
makes
to
me
check
grin.
That
yeah.
up.
You know? I like to say, you know, I love the past, but I wouldn't want to live there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, once you figure it out, then it's time to go, you know, and I have to say it's great listening to these nuggets because a lot of times they transcend their moment. When I listen to them, I don't hear the past. I hear a great song living on into the future. And, you know, like I said, I was just anxious to see it's like the Day of the Dead, you know, as long as you listen to a song and hear the song, it's still alive in your memory. And pretty soon, you know, it becomes, you know, a classic, you know, like Chopin's Nocturne in E-flat, a classic of the genre.
The collection is Nuggets. The celebratory shows at City Winery are on the 28th and 29th of this month. That's a Friday and Saturday.
Right, yeah.
Also, catch Lenny K with Patti Smith, as well as the National at the Garden on August 18th. And the latest book, Lightning Striking. And Lenny, I just can't thank you enough. This was a rip.
Well,
I had such
you,
a blast.
Eric. Thank you for inviting me up here. It's great to be on WFUV, where I have a lot of favorite DJs, Delphine Blue, Dennis Elsis. You know, you're on one of my buttons on the radio, and I like to check out and see what you guys are doing. And because it's important to have radio stations like this, independent radio stations that play a wide variety of music. That's how I like to listen to. And I also remember it was also the home of Rich Connedy, who had one of the great radio shows of our time. You know?
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
Let's wrap it up with the Monocles.
Yeah, this is a weird one. This is the weirdest one of all, I got to say. You got to close it with a weird one. So get set.
FUV. Thanks, Lenny K.
Are you having a night?